with Conrad Black, distinguished biographer, writing at the National Post about Major General Danny Fortin, now retired from the Canadian military. The bare facts outline. In 1991, then Danny Fortin, graduating to become a second lieutenant, graduated from the academy. In 2021, Danny Fortin, then a major general, was accused by an unnamed woman of sexual assault in 1988. In 2022, the case was acquitted by a judge. In 2023, Major General, retiring from the military, is seeking an explanation for his abuse, defamation in public. And yet, no documentation has been produced so far. To help me on this is Conrad Black, because the case involves a different jurisprudence. The case was tried in Quebec, and also an understanding of prosecution of a man who looks like he served nobly, admirably, and heroically, including NATO missions in Iraq over three decades. Conrad, a very good evening to you. Danny Fortin, this latest, his attempt to clear his name with no documentation, please help me understand that. What do you mean, no documentation? These are records of a man's honor.
Exactly. Well, this is what was so implausible about it. And as he himself said, here he was a major general, which is the same rank in the United States Army. It's a commander of a division, approximately 20,000 men. It's a very serious command position. And only a lieutenant general and a full general is above you. And in an overseas major foreign war, a theater commander in your country's five-star general, but Omar Bradley was the last one. That was a long time ago. So it's a very high and responsible rank, and you are in charge of, you have command of 20,000 men potentially in combat. And he served in, as you say, all these years, over 30 years, in the Canadian Army, and in all the actions we were engaged in, always with distinction, always promoted. And this woman emerges out of the ether, hadn't heard a word from her in 33 years, claiming that he had inflicted a sexual offense on her, and it was ultimately decided to hand this over to, not to court-martial him, because, you know, that wouldn't work, because he was a cadet at the time, and there is a Limitations Act, but for military offenses, but in the courts of the country as a whole, not military courts, and the prosecution chose to prosecute the Crown Law Office. And when it was heard by a judge only, not a jury, the judge said that it had not been proved beyond a reasonable doubt. He was not satisfied that the plaintiff woman actually had the right person. And apart from that, I think he desisted from further reflections on her credibility, but that doesn't mean that he actually believed anything she said. And so the general sued for mistaken and negligent or malicious prosecution, and as is routine in such matters, demanded the production of the evidence on the basis of which the charge was laid, and the response was they had no evidence. I mean, they had nothing, absolutely nothing to hand over. And they claimed that the reason was that it had been mislaid. Not that they never had any. They claimed they had ample reason to prosecute, but they couldn't find the reasons. I mean, none of it rings right, and it's not the sort of thing that a government of a serious country should be doing.
However, the
issues are the confidence in the legal system, the confidence in the propriety of the government, and the confidence in how the armed forces are run. I mean, if we're going to treat generals like this, what kind of an army are we going to end up with?
I come to your point in your column, though. You have the instance of Vice Admiral Mark Norman in 2018 undergoing the same kind of strange conduct by the authorities. What happened to the admiral?
Yeah, I wrote about that one at the time, too. He was the equivalent in your country's chairman of the Joint Chiefs. It's the title here is Chief of the Defense Staff. And he had been the senior figure in the Canadian Navy. And he wanted to move quickly to replace some obsolete ships, some destroyers and a maintenance vessel for the Navy that could go and repair our ships overseas or wherever they were. And there were two shipyards bidding, and one could do the work right away and the other could not. And the government favored the one that would involve a delay, and the admiral naturally favored the one that would do it more quickly, because he wanted the armed forces to be as effective as possible, as soon as possible, and they fired him for alleged acts of insufficient respect to the civil authorities and an improper partiality to one of the competing bidders. And the implication was that he might have a corrupt kickback arrangement. They didn't actually charge that. They just sort of let that out there. When it came to a proceeding, a legal proceeding, in the preliminaries, the government gave up and conceded that they could not make the case. So the admiral set out to sue for the improper termination of his career and defamation of him as an officer, and again demanded production of evidence. And the government said, "Well, we don't have any. We can't find it." I mean, if we're going to treat our senior military like this, we're not going to have very good officers. Now, at least the justice system produced just verdicts, but you simply can't treat people like this, any people, Conrad, but particularly not an admiral and a general.
Is it believed in the media that they really don't have documents for General Fortin and Admiral?
No, nobody believes the government. The belief in the media, quite plainly stated, is that they were afraid of being exposed as having a totally inadequate case that never should have been tried, and they only got out of this by making a big payoff to both men, General Fortin and Admiral Norman, and part of the deal was absolute silence about the amount and everything else. So they took taxpayers' money to pay for their mistakes and to shut the whole thing down without the exposure that they deserve for negligence or malice, whichever it is, or both.
So they've lost a senior officer of 35 years experience, an enormous expense of the state to train someone that competent, an extremely brave man who's now alienated from his life's work. And they've damaged the credibility of the government to the Canadian military. We've got less than a minute. Does the government comment on this?
And they've scooped a considerable amount of the taxpayers' money to pay for their own mistakes and enable them to sneak out the back door into the tall grass and not face the glare of exposure for the unjust and terribly costly prosecution that they conducted. Everything you say is right. It's an outrage. And everyone sees it as an outrage.
Conrad Black, writing at the National Post about the case of Major General Danny Fortin, retired from the Canadian military, and Vice Admiral Mark Norman, retired from the Canadian military. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.